Come on aboard, I promise you. Lots of room for you on the bandwagon.
Hi there, welcome into another edition of The Bandwagon. I'm Brian Moline.
And I'm Lisa Braltz.
A milestone today, Lisa. Our first guest.
Yes.
On The Bandwagon.
We have arrived at episode number 5, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have guests. And this actually came up faster than maybe we were planning on having guests, but it's actually a really great opportunity to have guests. Today, our guests are representatives from CLAW. And if you're not familiar with what CLAW means in the Urbana-Champaign community, it stands for Champaign. Champaign. Leaving Urbana out. Sorry, Urbana. Champaign Ladies Amateur Wrestling. We have with us in the studio today Jen Iverson Curry and Melanie Sheckles. So welcome to The Bandwagon.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to know more about your story and how CLAW started.
Sure. So I had a friend who had done something similar in Kalamazoo. In the mid-90s, she had shown me some videos of a group of women called K-POW,
awesome.
Kalamazoo Precinct of Women Wrestlers. And it was a bunch of women with these kind of fun characters wrestling to live bands. And I fell in love. It just had this amazing energy, and it looked like so much fun. She had shown an interest in doing something similar here in Champaign. And I took the idea and ran with it, and I got all of my good friends involved. And then they got their friends involved, and then we started recruiting people from outside, and it's just kind of taken off.
So I think it's funny. So Jen and Melanie, the two of you work together.
Mm-hmm.
And describe your profession. What is it that you do?
We're both registered nurses.
Nurses who wrestle.
Yes.
Sounds like that could, you know, we talked a little bit about this off mic, and I wonder about wrestling. You know, so my experience with wrestling, I admit, is very limited. And I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and it was just like all these oiled dudes with super blonde hair pretending to throw each other. And maybe some of it was real. I imagine that there are true injuries and things that happen sort of in that professional wrestling. But I never really understood the appeal. What about it appealed to the two of you? And what do you do like with this idea that maybe like guys are just like, ooh, awesome, ladies wrestling each other? Like, mm-hmm. Is there an element of that, or is it just much more performance and sort of owning it? How does that work?
Well, a thing we like to say around CLAW is no jello, no mud, all CLAW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we encounter a wrestler who has a character that is sort of sexualized, she's welcome to do that. But basically, we want everyone to decide for themselves what CLAW means to them and what their character is about. So we're not overtly or decidedly sexualized characters. So, you know, if other people interpret it that way, if people in the crowd sexualize us, you know, that's going to happen. But if we hear it, we're going to heckle them over it.
Awesome.
I feel like a priority of CLAW's is providing a safe space for these wrestlers, who are all women, by the way, obviously, ladies wrestling. But we want to allow them to express themselves in a way that is safe and that is empowering to them.
So give us the rundown of what a CLAW event looks like, and how do you put it together? I'm sure there's an agenda. It's sort of scripted in some way in terms of having a program. How do you plan it?
There are so many moving parts. Well, basically, Lisa, we are a large group of professional women. We have, as you mentioned, nurses. We have professional project managers, people who work in, you know, various parts of like design. And so we use all of the skills that we have to make Claw just a really well-produced show. So at the start, we get together with a group of all of our wrestlers.
We start pretty early, too.
Yeah, we like to start planning for each show, if possible, 2 months in advance. We pair everyone up. Before anyone starts, we do fall training together. And then once we're paired up, we start to choreograph and work on moves together. A lot of the moves are very acrobatic. Some of them employ different, you know, kind of qualities of that particular character. So, for example, Joanna the Slice, she attacks people with, you know, red pepper flakes sometimes, which is very painful.
Oh my God.
Is a pizza demigod.
Got it.
Yes. Goddess.
Goddess.
Yeah.
She's the daughter of a...
Pete Zeus. Yes.
Marvelous. Now, one aspect of this that sounds very interesting to me is you mentioned you got the idea from this group in Kalamazoo incorporating the music with the wrestling live bands.
Yeah.
Talk about how that all works. How does it all fit together?
Well, we have we're really close with the band Bookmobile, and we all are big fans of their music, and we really like the idea of having them perform just their own songs. They just play Bookmobile songs primarily, though they did write us a pretty killer theme song. So the energy that music provides has become really important to all of us while we're wrestling. There was one event that we were doing, and they weren't sure if there was going to be room for their band to set up in the space. And we just almost didn't want to finish the show because that energy that they provide is so important to get us going.
Mm-hmm. And the crowd going,
too. Yeah.
So are you wrestling against each other, or are there teams from other cities that come in and you have wrestling events? Does that happen in the larger ladies wrestling world? How does that work?
The Kalamazoo team is no longer together. They're no longer active. That, to my knowledge, only lasted for a few years. But they were very active and toured while they did it. But no, there's a large world of women's wrestling, but to my knowledge, we're the only sort of artsy punk rock WWE style wrestling group that happens.
So it's not like
so
Derby.
We wrestle each other.
Okay, you wrestle each other. So it's not like Derby where they're like, the local
bouts
Derby
with other,
bouts. Yeah, they bout with people from Decatur or people from Bloomington or whatever.
Right.
So this is a little different. Okay, so let's move on to the wrestling personas. How do you guys get your names, and then how do you express those personas as wrestlers?
So some people just came to it and said, "I really want to be a dinosaur," you know. and so at that point, we all just brainstormed together to think of like what would be a fun name to call that dinosaur.
Most of us just think of our personas, I think, on our own, but then we come to the group and we're open to suggestions for how to make a costume and what else to incorporate into the development of our characters. So a lot of times we like to, I mean, there's definitely a sense of humor involved. You know, we like to make people laugh with our characters and with the moves that our characters have, our signature moves.
Mm-hmm. While not offending them.
Right. But we try and have fun with it, but the more... And this is just me personally. The more I can make people laugh, the better.
Let's talk about this Friday night's event a little bit. At the High Dive, 8 p.m. This Friday night. Tell me about the matchup. Cherry Deadly and Whammy Faye Baker.
Whoa.
So Cherry Deadly is a maniac baker. She uses obscure and sometimes inappropriate ingredients. she has this really sweet side to her, but, you know, you might not want to cross her and you may not want to go to her bakery.
Yeah, I don't trust her too much.
Tell us about Whammy Faye.
Oh, Whammy Faye, the scorned woman. She's had some marital troubles in the past, but she, I don't know what their beef is. I think she might owe Cherry some money or something like that.
Yeah, she took a large order of baked goods and didn't pay for them or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of my characters fought Whammy Faye in our previous match, and it was interesting. She can really throw down. Well, so Cherry Dudley's, she's got to watch out.
Now, what signature moves are we going to see from these two?
Honestly, I think that, well, obviously her baked goods are going to be a weapon for Cherry Dudley.
I see in the poster she's got a rolling pin that looks pretty vicious as well.
Oh yeah, Whammy has been known to beat people with her thumpin' Bible.
Yeah, she has a giant Bible that she hits people with, and also I think maybe an offering plate that might get.
Oh man,
sounds pretty tense. Friday night, 8 p.m. Cherry Dudley and Whammy Faye Baker, the latest Claw event coming up. And if people want more information, want tickets, et cetera, where should they go?
You can find us. Well, why don't you? You're our social media coordinator.
Yeah. If you search on Facebook for Claw, you will find not only our official Claw page, but you will also find an event page for this particular event. There are links on our Facebook event page that you can click on to purchase tickets ahead of time. There will also be tickets available at the door, but it is worth mentioning that our first show did sell out the day before, I believe, our show.
Yep.
So it's our advice to all of you who are interested to purchase tickets in advance.
And that's 217 Claw.
Correct.
On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website as well.
So I just want to bring, just to wrap it up here, you know, the event, it sounds great. The last thing that I want to ask is how much of your, and you can speak for yourself certainly, but maybe anything else that you've observed with the women that you wrestle with, how much of it has made its way into your everyday life in terms of empowerment or making you feel stronger? I mean, is that something that happens?
Absolutely. Outside of just the physical empowerment of being a lady wrestler, building this from scratch, which, you know, I feel like I kind of had a big part in, has just made me so empowered and so much more assertive in my everyday life.
I tell her that often, how amazing it is that she, you know, had this idea and fell in love with this notion of having an all-women's wrestling group that was also led by women and is making it a thing. And as she mentioned earlier, it's kind of snowballing. Like, we have, what, 15 wrestlers now?
Mm-hmm.
Most of whom are performing in this next show on Friday. And then, you know, we do plan on expanding further eventually, I believe, too, and opening it up to new wrestlers. So if you're at all interested in women's wrestling, or even if you think that in the future you may want to be involved, definitely come out on Friday so that you can kind of get a taste of what it's like. Just probably you should not eat any of Cherry Dudley's cupcakes.
So every time I hear Claw, I think of, from Toy Story, the little three-eyed thing that says the Claw is our master.
Yeah.
You know what I'm every time I hear Claw, I think of that. So yeah, Friday night. Sounds great. Any other questions, Brian? You got anything else?
No, I don't think so. It should be a lot of fun. High day of 8 o'clock is the place to be.
Sounds good.
Jen Iverson Curry, Melanie Shekels from Claw, thank you so much for sharing everything about this great organization with us.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, some other topics to discuss this week on the Bandwagon. Basketball season officially underway, Lisa.
Yes, finally. The most wonderful time of the year,
yes,
Brian.
Yes, indeed. Men's and women's basketball teams at Illinois got underway, both playing off campus. The men playing in Springfield at the Perry Capital Convention Center. The women playing at Parkland College. Until the State Farm Center, a.k.a. Assembly Hall, is ready for games again starting in December.
I still call it Assembly Hall. I can't help it.
Most people who've been here a long time do. I had to get it drilled into my head in my previous radio life. It was basically a requirement that I call it State Farm Center, so it got drilled into my head. And I would still catch myself occasionally calling it the Assembly Hall. But anyway, men a bit of a choppy start. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries, and had another one in their opening game. Jalen Tate, point guard, dislocated finger.
Ugh.
An open dislocation, which means it popped through the skin.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah. So he's out. It's on his shooting hand, and it's not known exactly when he'll be back.
Wow. But,
so Illinois lost their season opener to North Florida. And they won yesterday. We're talking on Monday. They won Sunday against North Dakota State after mounting a comeback. They were trailed by, I think, as many as 14 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So Illinois men are 1-1. And I think for them, basically, they're just going to be trying to tread water until they get all their players back. Laron Black, I think, had been dealing with a knee injury. He played a little bit yesterday. Kendrick Nunn is out until probably mid to late December with an issue with his hand. So they're just, I think, trying to survive right now.
I think this is where team psychology really comes into play, too. And just like when the hits keep coming like that, it's not just one injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many injuries. Some of these injuries happen in the preseason. When the hits keep coming like that, how do you bounce back? How do you recover? As a coach, what do you say to your team? As assistant coaches, what do you say to your team? As a team captain, what do you say to your players? How do you respond to, you know, crowd taunting, things like that? Like how do you bounce back from that? How do you keep going so that when you do have your players back, then that's a whole other issue, right? When players do come back, how do you integrate them into the system that you've sort of cobbled together in the face of all of those injuries?
Yeah, so it's a challenge. We'll see how Illinois navigates that. Their next game is at Providence, which I believe is Wednesday night. Providence was an NCAA tournament team last year, team out of the formerly Big East, now American Athletic. Or actually, no, they're still in the Big East. I can't keep track of conferences.
It's hard to keep track.
The women off to a good start. They demolished Chicago State in their opener, and they beat Ohio University, which I think was a pretty good team last year. Beat them by 9 points yesterday. Matt Bolant trying to kind of piece together a team as well with all the turmoil from last season. So many players transferring under difficult circumstances. So we'll see how the Illinois women fare, but they got up to a good start this weekend.
Yep, and I'm curious to know, I don't know if you were at the game yesterday, I'm curious to know how the crowds are. Springfield is a little further away, but I'll be curious. We'll have to get to a couple of women's games, I think, ahead of moving back to not Assembly Hall, but the State Farm Center. When is that?
That is December 2nd, I believe it is.
Oh, so not far.
Yeah, the men play North Carolina in their Big Ten ACC Challenge game. Oh, it's Notre Dame mm-hmm. in that mm-hmm. game, and I believe it's December 2nd. So then they'll be back in there. Elsewhere this week, big news on college campuses all over the place, but I think for our purposes talking sports here, the one at the University of Missouri, the protests there were very interesting because essentially what happened there is members of the football team saying, we're not playing, we're not doing anything unless some of the demands that African-American students are making are met here, which had an interesting kind of confluence of racial issues, sports. Very interesting how that all played out.
It showed me that, you know, I feel a lot of feelings on this subject. I thought it was great that the football team was unified in using its powers for something that could really move the needle, let's say. You know, they're using their power to bring attention to something that otherwise might have gone ignored. And I think a lot of people were surprised by that, that they were completely unified. I think it's a shame that it has to be football that gets people's attention, you know, like we're not going to play anymore until somebody takes a look at this. But, you know, money talks, power talks. I thought it was amazing. And it does make me wonder, you know, if other college campuses are looking at similar issues and if other football teams are coming together. It makes me wonder what people in those positions of coaching football, because their coach was completely on board with them. He was completely behind them. So this was not just some sort of mutiny that was going on. This was throughout the entire team.
Yeah, it was. And it was interesting seeing some of the reaction of, you know, Mizzou fans and some other students, white students on campus, basically saying, don't take away my football.
Yeah.
It was kind of the reaction that they were getting. And just not, it seemed to me that they weren't seeing kind of the bigger picture here, but they were like, I don't care what you do, just don't take away my football.
Well, I think it's a path. I think it's the beginning of a path. If that's what it takes to start people thinking about what's happening elsewhere on their campus, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a start. It's not the greatest start, but it certainly got people's attention, and I hope it got some people thinking a little harder.
Well, we've kind of run the gamut here. We started with ladies amateur wrestling, Claw. Illinois.
Claw's my master.
Illinois men's and women's basketball, Mizzou. And when I think of Claw, actually, what I think of is the mediocre Jim Carrey movie Liar Liar, where he makes his hand into the claw to scare and have fun with his son. And the claw will get you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
That's what I think of.
Exactly. But. Well, I enjoyed having them here. It was kind of interesting having guests, so we'll have to see if we bring them, maybe not them, but guests back in the future. Certainly Claw. I mean, you know, as I was talking to them off mic, I was asking them for a list of injuries, and they're not extensive or serious injuries. No, what's it called? The breakthrough dislocation? Nothing like that.
Yeah.
But there's a sprained wrist and a cut lip and things like that. So I was getting the litany. We'll have to bring them back and get a report.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun having them in here. And this has been The Bandwagon, Episode 5. Thanks again for joining us. If you have anything you'd like us to discuss, I'm at B. Molling, WILL.
And I'm at Lisa Brault.
Thanks so much for listening.